Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Matt Aguilar here, and welcome to Comic Book Nation's The Poolist, where we talk all things comics all the time. Joining me is one of the best in the world to talk comics with, Kofi Allo. What's up, buddy?
What's up? I hope my settings are here. I feel like my mic kind of came unplugged, so I hope I sound all right, but I'm here.
Nice. Sound great. Yeah, sound great. Want to go ahead and, Kofi, should we lead off with an announcement, or should we save it for the end? Tease people, let it go to the end. How do you want to handle that?
Let's just get the program notes out of the way just in case, so we make sure we get all that done. I think from going forward, the pool list is going to be in audio format. So we are going to be kind of ditching the video format and going audio so we can have a little bit more freedom to kind of play with what we want to do with the show and get our discussions on, but it'll be the same great comic talk, but we're going to be doing a little more audio. Comic Book Nation has grown a lot. And just production wise, we can't keep these pretty faces pretty this often. And so we are going to be doing some things audio, some things video to kind of help us spread out all this content. And Pull List will be going audio from now on. So, you know, we still have a live show where we will probably be doing a little bit more comic focus on the live show again. And we'll still have our in-depth discussions of the Pull List, like for audio format. So subscribe on all your feeds. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeart Media, all of the big things. So keep up with the Pull List in audio form going forward. So now I'm just going to do this with my eyes covered, just to pretend and prepare that I get ready going forward to see you. But I still feel like we have to look at each other when we record these.
Yeah. So nothing really changes for us. We still have to look at each other. Also, yeah. It does actually free us up for more discussion, which is great because of certain things that go in live with the live show and time constraints and things like that. So of that won't actually be as much of an issue. So it actually, it's beneficial in a lot of ways as well. So I want to get to the...
We've had a rapid 40% expansion in the last year just to get it down to numbers. And we're still tweaking. Oh, yeah, it's a good problem. But we're still tweaking things because we put a lot on the plate. So we're going to still tweak things. And we want to get some things kind of produced on the audio side. And yeah, we have ideas. So it's going to be fun. And I'm kind of excited because there's things that, like you said, just getting everything to slot and be like, look at this comic and look at this comic versus how many of you are looking at it versus listening to us. Like, we want to be feeding our listening audience because we love you guys and you guys are here. The downloads are here. And so we gotta feed our listening audience. We've been a slave of two masters for 6 years now. But enough about behind the scenes stuff. Let's get to the fun stuff. Let's talk comics. Yeah, we got to do this all.
I am so excited with our first book because The Boy Wonder, the latest DC Black Label release. Everyone knows who listens to the show or the main show that I am a Damian Wayne fan. And I did not really know what to expect from this book. And oh my God, I'm over the moon. I'm just going to let the spoiler out there. I'm over the moon about it, but I actually want to get Kofi's input first on this before I just start gushing about stuff. Cause I'm very curious, Kofi, what you thought of this.
We are unapologetic Damian Wayne fans up here. But this book had a lot of I'm confusing it with actually Batman. Hold up. Let me get back to, because I've read so much Batman in the last few hours. this was a pleasant surprise. I'm surprised what DC is able to do with Damian in solo format, like that Robin series with the whole Enter the Dragon kind of tournament thing. I really dug that. And this, as presented by Junie Ba, I hope I said that right, is as a fairy tale, immediately kind of grabbed me. And it's I like when comics, and this is why I think I like a lot of Tom King stuff, is when they use the format of other literary kind of frameworks to make us look at comic characters and events differently. And this one is doing that in a very effective way. Like, it's a story where Damian's this prince, and the visual representation with the fairy tale. It's almost like an episode of Samurai Jack, except starring Damian Wayne. And it really works for me because I love Samurai Jack. And like that series, this series gets below the kind of tropes of the genre it's working in and kind of really uses metaphor and visual metaphor to really help you understand how Damian kind of sees things in a weird kind of way and how his perspective must be about everything from who he is and his identity. And I think that's the kind of magic this works, is this is very much a Damian kind of trying to figure out who Damian is story, but done in a very novel kind of way. And I dig it. And I dig Damian. And this one's good. And you could give it to kids or just younger audiences and older audiences alike, and that's a hard thing to pull off.
Right, I love what you said about showing it visually, because I thought they did such a great job of displaying we obviously have seen the dynamic between Batman and Damian a lot, but some of my favorite stuff is actually between Nightwing and Damian. And yes, I will go on the record again as, a giant fan. They were robbed of more time together as Batman and Robin. So anytime I get to see them together and interacting is a win. And I thought Junie Ba did such a wonderful job of in expressions and how Damian reacts to things, and also how Damian figures things out by watching, right? He's watching the whole battle between Batgirl and Nightwing, or with them, play out. And he learns from that. And a lot of that's done visually. It's not said out loud. And it's conveyed so well. And this book's very funny. It's very charming. And then also Damian's Damian at certain parts in time, especially this is early in his career, right? So he's still learning how to not be a ruthless murdering machine. So I saw all of those things are tackled so well here. I just, Chris O'Halloran's colors are just beautiful. There's just some sequences in this book and some pages that are just from Damian's monologue. They're just from Damian's internal thoughts, but they're just beautiful. And the way they're presented, and that's a running theme of this week's books. Actually, it's just gorgeous artwork. There's several books this week that just knocked it out of the park that way. Yeah, I couldn't recommend this more. I love what they're doing with Black Label and the risks they're taking. And this is definitely one. We also talked about, I think it was Batman and Robin as well, last year. It was a three-issue miniseries that really hit that out of the park as well. And so Robin's having a really great run as far as storytelling, and this is absolutely one you should add to your list.
I would also say kudos to, we didn't touch on it, but this book, what it's also doing is distilling so much of what has happened in continuity with Damian, that comic booky complicatedness, and is really just taking the finer points of it and focusing you in on those. so that you don't get weighed down by like every single minutia of what's happened with him and Batman and Nightwing and Red, you know, all the other Bat family. But it is capturing, you know, the overall beats of that very well. So good work on that part too.
For sure. And even the stuff they touch on, you know, with his, you know, with Roz and Tali, like all that stuff too, the way that's presented. Yeah, this is a win across the board. Moving to another thing we have championed a lot on the pull list is the Energon Universe. And there is a new Energon Universe special that is out, which contains three stories, one for Transformers, one for Void Rivals, and one for G.I. Joe. They all, if you've been keeping up with the G.I. Joe books, especially Duke, and also actually Cobra Commander, because there was a big reveal there as well. These books are a lot more interconnected than you might actually expect. And so this special really brings all that together, sets the stage for the next year of books in both of those cases. I cannot rave about this universe more. Number one, there's a character appearance that I don't want to spoil because it's a big deal in the middle of the book, but they are one of my favorite Transformers. And so for that character to pop up and that character to be kind of a linchpin moving forward, I am extremely excited. But as you've seen in the preview, the questions about Megatron, like there's answers here and there's some big things. I mean, obviously that was one of the things in Cobra Commander that was revealed about the, where was he and what happened, and like the way that's all portrayed and laid out is something. And then the G.I. Joe books, if you've been keeping up with Duke, I've loved that series. And so they build on that, and there's intrigue moving forward within the G.I. Joe groups. And we got two new series coming out for G.I. Joe later this year, including Kelly Thompson's Scarlet, which I cannot wait for. So I was already hooked on the Energon universe, but if you were to hand this to someone and it's like, hey, see if this gets you hyped and you might want to dip into these books, I think it did its job.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you do it. This is what you give me instead of like that Biker Mice from Mars, you know.
Why you always got to take shots of Biker Mice?
Yeah, like, I mean, that one was just kind of hokey, and this is an actual universe. Like, what they've done with this in the past year, and I didn't even realize, is like, yeah, this is still so new. Like, it's just been a year, but the way they've executed on this is just, it's pretty phenomenal. Like, everything you read in this actually factors into the other books in some kind of way. There's actual connective tissue about it, and it all feels like a bunch of 80s, 90s kids like us sat down and geeked out and came up with like the ultimate lunchroom conversation about like, what if you had like Transformers and G.I. Joe and Void Rivals like all together, like what, you know? And they've actually found like organic connective, you know, no pun intended, but organic connective threads for how these things actually meld together in a compelling way. And just the story about Megatron alone and, you know, who he's up against and like what's going on with that. Like, you see these two kind of titans of these two series, like going at it, and you're like, oh my God, like, yeah, neither one of them scared. They're just like, yeah, what? Like, who are you talking to? No, who you talking to? Like, and yeah. And it's amazing. And it's like, it's everything my 80s, 90s kid self would, you know, go nuts over seeing. And at the same time, you actually get like good characterization. Like, I feel like I know Baroness like even better from this like little monologue about her that's done very well, not even directly about her, and where that story kind of goes better than I did like ever in the series. And so like, they're doing characterization. Everybody has a distinct character from this familiar, from Megatron to Optimus Prime to Duke to Baroness to Deathstroke to Cobra Commander. And yeah, they're the people I love, but in a very edgier, deadlier universe. Like, people get murked in this like quite often,
man,
and quite violently. And so, yeah, this is like the grown up version of this. And I think it's underrated, and they kind of put down, I think, some accolades of how fast the sales in this book and the sales were. And I'm glad they did, because I didn't know that information offhand, but like, I would hope so, because yeah, this is like one of the better franchise universe launches like I've ever seen, and it's cooking really, really well right now.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill.
But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get in.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you're even in the preview, you're even seeing some of that violence, right? Like, they are not afraid to really make these stakes matter. And the battle feels like a genuine battle. Like, you can feel the seething between Megatron and Optimus in this story and as things have built out. And the way that Megatron story turns is fantastic and right in line with things. But like, and again, the artwork, there's a splash page of Megatron and Optimus fighting. And it is just, my God, it's just stunning. It's a cartoon come to life. And again, G.I. Joe's doing the same thing. So both of these universes aren't going anywhere. This is a spot to hop in.
Can I amend my answer? I gave, yeah, you know, Williamson and, you know, everybody's working on this. Let me rephrase that. These are 80s, 90s kids like us who were similarly deeply traumatized by both Transformers the movie and G.I. Joe the movie. And that is very clear in this. Like, yeah, you could see the points of trauma and you're like, oh, man, yeah, that stuck with you, right? When, like, homie, you know, people caught it in those movies and we were not prepared for that because we were just watching cartoons all day. And then these movies came out and some of our favorite, pretty much all our favorite heroes got, like, either horribly maimed, poisoned, yep, ripped apart, killed outright. Like, and so, like, yeah, these guys are still recovering, but I'm happy we're doing trauma therapy together. It's fun.
In such a great way. In such an awesome way. Yeah. Another book we have raved about on this show is The Last Mermaid. And
let's go.
My God. Oh, this was appointment reading. I read this as soon as I possibly could. I actually read it, so like I had to go back and reread it because I was like, when did I read that? What are you, I mean, this is, you know, to me, visual storytelling at its finest, and this issue is no different. I mean, there's stakes. Yes, there's dialogue and things, but It's just all so cohesive and working with each other. And we also get some actual kind of, we get a new person in the mix, you know, someone that's been teased. So there's movement forward, and then we get this big action sequence that is not just pretty, because yes, it's gorgeous, but it's just so like creative in how it uses light and shadow, and it plays with that. It, man, I just can't rave enough about this book.
Yeah, this is like my Shogun of comics for 2024 right here. Like Last Mermaid is just like every issue is like a whole ass like experience. And by the time I'm done, like, I'm just like, whew. First of all, I usually reread it immediately. And then like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And, you know, I have aquatic fears of like stuff. And so this book is kind of terrifying for me in the way, I mean, just the artwork and the way that it plays with comic page space art and uses that is pretty insane and just keeps you immersed in an almost all aquatic setting for most of, you know, these last couple issues. And just we've seen like Derek Kirk Kim, and we've seen, you know, we've talked about the backstory of how long this was worked out, this series was planned, and you can see the world building in this. Like, this series is kind of proof of concept of like when you spend enough time building out a world in your head and like really build it out, like from everything from the technology these people are wearing to the kind of life forms we're seeing. Like, there's this whole quote unquote villain of this thing is a sea beast. And I use that with a lot of asterisks and stuff, but just finding out how deadly, because our mermaid is formidable. She has a mech suit that's formidable, but seeing how dangerous this creature is in a variety of ways in this issue is it just shows you the level of imagination that has been put in this. Like, this creature is bred for this world and it is a killer, and like it can do pretty much anything. And it's just like, it's terrifying. And so, yeah, it's not one of those easy things like, oh, you know, I scratch it and I get away. No, man, like this thing is persistent about its food, because I'm sure it all makes sense because food's probably scarce in this world. So like, yeah, it's hunting for this meal and it's going to keep on. And so like, these are all the levels of details you get that allows you to make each issue like an effective short story, so that like we see things happening in the moment, but it implies so much more. And so, yeah, it's crazy how we're just getting started in this. And this is still just like one basic chase sequence that we've been on. Yeah. And yeah, and it's still like that in the next issue. Will be like that too. It's just as balls to the wall, just like dire straits, and nothing's ever let up for like a second. But when we expand this world, I feel like it's going to be one of the more successful world expansions you can pull off.
Yeah, and also, too, it's one of those things where, you know, monster designs. I mean, we've seen a lot of creature designs in movies and TV and comics and everything else, right? So it's one of those things where, like, when you can create a creature that actually is unique and feels like it's something altogether different and original, it's always a plus for me, right? It's actually one of the reasons why I love Cloverfield. Also, I just love that movie. But the creature design is so weird and different and off-putting, and that's also a running theme in this week's books, because we got a lot of different creatures showing up that are kind of creepy and weird. And this one, again, it's deadly, it's lethal, but you know, it's just doing its thing, right? It's just trying to survive. So it's fantastic what this book has been able to do, and like you said, it's scratching the surface. We haven't even gotten answers as to so many other questions, but it keeps moving along at a great pace. You mentioned it before, so it'd be a perfect time to talk on Batman. Also, it's been a Batman heavy week. What did you think of Batman? Because we're kind of entering this next phase of that book.
I'm settling into kind of what we got going on with Chip Zdarsky is doing, and you know, the road here has had its ups and downs for sure. But it's always been an interesting kind of dissection of who Batman is what's at the heart of this whole saga, Zdarsky volume, where we're going to get out of him. And at least this issue really kind of upped my interest in what's happening here. You know, if you just give me too late, we're going to get into what this whole arc is about. Batman has been supplanted by his own kind of militant Batman persona, the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, and who downloaded himself into this android body he built, then made it, has convinced the world that, you know, this is Bruce Wayne and that he died and had to, and this was his backup plan to put himself in this android body to be Batman forever. And he's convinced Superman and the Justice League and every, and most of, and some of the Bat family about this. And Bruce Wayne is really on the run and trying to get his life back after being locked up in a prison with the Joker for a little bit and escaping. So yeah. And you know, Batman's mentor, Daniel Capitillo, is like helping to pull the strings of all this. So this issue really kind of made me believe that Zardesky actually has like a really good vision for this and possibly landing this plane. There are a lot of interesting turns here for where we can get to, because we're at the point where I need to know that there's some kind of new era of Batman coming. And we do that. You know, we get Bruce kind of getting into a place where I can see we might get back to some classic Batman. There's just all these red signal flags that some Silver Age Batmaning in that kind of brighter spirit of Batman might be coming back our way. I'm interested in that. The thing bringing Amanda Waller in, Capitillo in, and what Capitillo's doing with Arkham and all that, and scenes with the Riddler and that backup story were really interesting. So it's feeling like we're getting to a new era of Batman that Zardesky's building to, and I'm actually really interested to see what that is, because we've kind of played in with different variations of the same Batman era, but ever since 89, we've been basically in this dark, brooding Batman world, and it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's some reveals in this by the end, and things I'm think we still have to write up when I get out of here, that I'm very interested to see. And Zur-En-Arr failsafe is growing on me in like this new Batman android body. There's some action scenes, and having this character around and at least in the back burner at points will be very interesting to me. So I'm liking it better.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why I was really loving, was it Dark Detective? Future State?
Yeah.
When he was in that space of not having all the tech, not having, like, he had to rely on the greatest thing that he has, right? His mind and his resourcefulness and all that stuff. And that's ultimately at the end of the day, right? You can have all the tech and stuff, but that's what makes Batman so compelling. And for them to find a way to like, not, you know, we kind of saw that attempted, you know, with Joker War and stuff and kind of stripping it down. But like, I like here that it's not necessarily like, okay, he doesn't, you know, the cover teases, right? No allies, no, you know,
no weapons, no hope.
But like, it's not like they stripped all that away. It's that like people are being deceived. So I like the way that they've worked that into the story without removing all this other stuff and like making it like, I just think it's actually really impressive how they've woven that in. And now we're getting that, Bruce. I also, as to not spoil one particular thing towards the end, you know, not everyone has been fooled. And I thought I immediately saw that and went, oh, Kofi's gonna love this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill.
But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Because the one, like, one of the people that's not fooled and that knows is like one of your favorite. It's like one of your favorite Robins.
Happy. Yeah, that's why I almost got confused about the last book. I was about to reference him, and I was like, "Oh wait, that wasn't that book." That's right. I was like, "My boy is back."
Because that's always something that, again, it's smart because it's leaning into what each of the Robins do, and so it actually makes perfect sense that he would be the one to not, you know, to like know and also be like right there by his side. Like, I just love whenever Batman embraces family, to me, that's when he's the strongest. And then we always do this thing of where we have to like revert everything back and he's got to be brooding again. I can't stand that. I just wish we would stick around in the era where like, it's okay to be dysfunctional, but you can still embrace the people around you and these what essentially are your kids. You know, you can still embrace them. You don't have to constantly cut yourself off. We've just seen that so many times, and I hope we don't get that here. I'd rather be in the grave for a while than just go back to that cycle. So maybe fingers crossed on that.
Well, that's where I think you're hitting the nail on the head, because I think, just to kind of focus this in and on like a final point, I think that's what we are getting. There's one scene that really stood out to me in this book, and it's a flashback scene between Bruce and Barry Allen. And it kind of is a scene that's very like quick and quiet, but it showed Bruce the advantage of being with other people and working with a team and kind of that. And I want to see, like you, I want to get back to that. I want to get back to like the Justice League cartoon moments where Bruce isn't always the smartest in the room. He's not always the guy who has to carry it all. Like, his friends are quippy and smart and kind of love him anyway. And they're like, you know, all right, I know you want to go in there. And what was I watching? Oh, it was Crisis on Infinite Earths, the animated thing. And there's like a whole sequence in there where Bruce is about to like piloting a drone. He's like, I'm going to shoot this whole place up. And they're like, whoa, like chill. Like, we can have another plan before we just blow this whole thing up. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, contingencies. And they're like, oh God. And then like, you know, Flash and them have to like get in there and like solve it before Batman's going to do it the Batman way. And I like that kind of dynamic. I like it where Bruce is like, okay, try your hopeful way, but I'll be back here with like the ultimate bomb plan. Like, and people are like, oh God. All right, like, calm down. And like, I love that kind of dynamic with them. So I hope we get there too. That's all I would say. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, for sure. I echo that 100%. That's what I would like to see. Wolverine is nearing in on 50. It's one of the shining stars of the X-Books recently. How are you feeling about this as we near closer?
I had to make a Sophie's Choice right before I got on here, and I ended up reading X-Men Forever. So I'm sorry to everybody. Oh. Yeah.
Well, okay. So how is X-Men Forever?
Man, there's some cool stuff with Hope. There's some, if you're a Messiah Complex fan, there's some cool callback stuff for that. Other than that, can we please get to the end of this? I can't wait for this I'm so excited for From the Ashes at this point. Like, Fall of X is just the fall of my interest. So read Wolverine. I should have.
Okay, so as number one, I am a giant fan of Hope and Messiah Complex and all that stuff. So I will probably end up reading this. I read Giant Size X-Men, and I didn't put a cover in here because it was just okay. It was fine. It was there's actually some interesting moments about Angel in there. But, you know, also there's a big chunk that's like a reprint of a Marvel 2-in-1. So like it was there's some interesting stuff in there about Angel, but like you really have to be an Angel fan, which I've always enjoyed Angel. But, you know, compared to some of the other stuff this week, it's just like it was good. It was OK. So anyway, our that's our X-Book summation of this week. I want to move into a book because I want to make sure I give it some time. Ain't No Grave, number one. Is the new book from Scotty Young and Jorge Corona. Wow. This book, again, it's a theme this week of just beautiful books. This book is just stunning. There's just, and sometimes there's like hardly any dialogue in like certain, especially like early on, like certain like two page sequences of it's just, you know, this, you know, former outlaw, former thief. And she's, you know, now living this life. It's really described as like, you know, Unforgiven style. And it very much is, her name's Ryder. And at, you know, she's going on this journey and you don't know where to for a considerable part of the book. And there's just parts where she's just traveling through the world and then sees kind of Western vistas and, you know, dilapidated, you know, houses and stuff, but it's just beautiful. I mean, this book is really just a tour de force that way. But then also you get this, like, I love the almost like got some like Joe Mad vibes from the like character design, like aesthetic. Like you get this kind of slightly more animated look, like the coat's kind of like this oversized, kind of more stylistic coat, and there's a lot of those little touches throughout the book. And then the stuff that happens, like there's a couple kind of WTF moments that happen along the way, and then one, you know, big kind of reveal towards the end that also kind of bring a decision made early on full circle. I was hooked on this. I thought this was great. I'm kind of hit and miss on Westerns. I always give them a chance, but I'm you know, kind of 50-50 on whether I stick around. This will be one I stick around with. Did you have a chance to check this one out, Covey?
No, sir.
This is, man, I am in. Very excited about this.
I disagree with only one thing. There is no former outlaw. You're born in. You're never sworn in. Oh. And there is no retirement.
You know what? That ties really well into the book. So you are correct in that. Very much so. And then Birds of Prey, you still, I mean, we laud this series consistently on the show. This was another, I enjoyed this issue immensely. Kofi, did you have a chance to check this one out?
I'm still working my way through, but no, this is next. These are, I'm getting like Wolverine, Birds of Prey. We're getting into like things I don't do for this show. Like I'm just going to sit down and enjoy these as my nighttime readings in my chair with my pipe, you know, and my paper. So I'll be doing that.
Yeah. Also, I will say, you know, you kind of, this arc in particular is very Barbara Gordon centric. Everyone knows that's like one of my favorite all-time comic characters, period. So you're always going to have me there. But I do, even if she's not part of the, you know, full-time team, I always love when she's a part of the book. But again, this book is really, I feel like week in, week out becomes more and more the Barda show. And so delightfully, like that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Barda's getting so much love there. Real quick, Captain Marvel number 8. This series took a minute to get going for me. I early on, the first couple issues were a little slow and developing certain plots, and especially the dynamic between Yuna and Carol. Like I wasn't necessarily so sold on, especially because we had kind of removed a lot of Carol's allies that made Kelly Thompson's run so great. But as time has gone on and that relationship has started to actually develop and we are getting some of the Marvel characters brought in, This book is clicking for me, and it's really starting to hit its stride now. So really digging what we're doing there. Crocodile Black is a very different series, and I'm very captivated. It's a book essentially that takes place during kind of the height of COVID. So it was, you know, stores are closing, going out en masse, all that stuff. It's very much in right in the middle of that. And so it deals with a young man who's already having issues with escapism. And so you're like, oh, okay, it's like, you know, targeted at like mental health. But then there's also this not even supernatural element, but kind of that is introduced as far as like, he's seeing a little kid, but like the visuals of how that kid is represented is kind of, you know, disturbing and creepy at times. And then there's this other element about these crocodile boots, and like he finds them, and I won't go into like where he finds them or how he finds them, because that's kind of spoiler. But what I will say is they set the book in like a very different trajectory, and it opens with a very brutal scene, and then by the end it starts all to click. It is a very different book, but I am in. I gotta see what the hell happens here. So I did not, you know exactly what to expect, but it is worth checking out. And then I want to give a shout out to Monsters Are My Business number 2. Speaking of off the wall monster designs, this book is delightful. I just love it. You got chainsawing, you know, you got Cuddles back with the chainsaw, but then like the other monster, again, really original monster designs in this book. The other monster is like, you know, has like a bunch of eyeballs on his tail and has all these claws and stuff, but then like turns out to be very like, very polite and very like, oh, I don't like to get my claws bloody. Like his personality is like completely different than what you would expect. And so then he's playing off of, you know, the murdering koala, and so dude, it's just so much fun. I need this to be a show. I need this to be an animated show, because my God, it would kill if it was given like the HBO Max Harley Quinn, you know, like tone, and then you just ran with it and let it be its a bloody mess. It'd be amazing. I dig this so much. So much original stuff happening right now in comics. So Kofi, any other books you wanted to shout out before we wrap?
Always read some manga. Manga's dope too. So just shout out to the Mangaverse. Continue on with some Blood Hunt. I know we haven't talked about it here, but I'd be interested to talk a little bit more Blood Hunt. That's about it.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. I on purpose did not do like, cause there's like 3 Blood Hunt ties in this.
Yeah. Movie.
And I was like, oh, I'm not going to overload. Kofi's going to hate me if I overload Blood Hunt. So, okay. That's interesting. Okay. Dracula, one shot hit. I haven't had a chance to read that one. But also, and I'm trying to find it on here, the book I was actually really Blood Hunters number 1 was fun, and it has some characters that are, you know, kind of beloved characters, Hawkeye, Cloak, or sorry, not Cloak, Dagger. So very curious to see. Well, maybe we'll revisit that next week. But until next week, thank you so much for jumping on here with us. We love hearing your feedback. If you got comic recommendations, books we should jump back to if we missed them, let us know. You can check out all of our content on audio podcast platforms, as well as our Comic Book Nation YouTube page. We have Anime Initiative on Tuesdays. We have obviously the pull list on Wednesdays. We have Quick Save on Thursdays, and then the main show on Fridays. And of course, leave some time in there for all the fun little bonus episodes we do along the way. So until next week, catch you latest. Deuces.